May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So, in high school and in college, when I was still mistakenly a Yankees fan, until I learned the error of my ways, I was glued to ESPN. And I would watch SportsCenter nonstop, every day, all the time, if I could. And I would watch any athletic sports competition on TV. One of my favorite SportsCenter anchors was Robin Roberts. I wanted to be Robin when I grew up. I mean, I could think of nothing better than sitting and talking about sports all the time. It seemed to me that she had the perfect life. I mean, don't all people who are on television have just the perfect life, right? Well, Robin, as you might know, moved up the ranks and eventually became one of the anchors on Good Morning America. And she was part of the team that took GMA from being number two in the rankings to number one for morning television news shows. Robin had the perfect life, or so it appeared. 10 years ago, in 2013, Robin came out publicly as being gay. She said, "For the longest time before I came out publicly, I would think, well, everybody knows I'm gay. My family knows, my colleagues know, my bosses know." And it was all true. If she was walking down the street, she would introduce her partner Amber to people. And she said, "What a waste of time. And why? Why come out?" She didn't do so because, and I quote, "I was afraid. I was afraid," she says, "people couldn't think that I could be a Christian and gay." So for 30 years, Robin kept her sexual orientation private from her very public persona. Then she was diagnosed with breast cancer, followed 5 years later with a diagnosis of MDS, a rare blood disorder which would require a bone marrow transplant. All of this was going on when her beloved mother also passed away. Now Robin's mother, who she was really close with, used to say to Robin, "Make your mess your message." And so Robin did. And she wrote one of my favorite books entitled Everybody's Got Something. So Robin writes in her book that regardless of how much money you have, your race, where you live, what religion you follow, you are going through something. Or you already have, or you will. As Mama always said, everybody's got something. So the Apostle Paul, he understood this message. And today in our scripture, he is preaching to both the Jews, the God-fearing Gentiles, and others whom he's met there, including the Epicureans and the Stoic philosophers. So the Epicureans, these philosophers, they taught that pleasure is the highest good, and mental pleasure, the highest happiness. They understood salvation in terms of being freed from fear of gods and the fear of death. The Stoics, those philosophers, by contrast, taught that knowledge is the highest good and that the material world is the sum of reality. Now, these philosophers, they weren't sure what Paul was speaking about, and they referred to him, as we heard in Scripture, as a babbler, which literally means someone who had picked up scraps of knowledge. Paul was seen as someone who was proclaiming strange deities, and deities here mean literally demons. These philosophers had never met anyone like Paul before, so they brought him to Areopagus and the ancient court there, which once governed Athens, but had since changed over, and it was really a place where they arranged public lectures. So the philosophers brought Paul in, and they wanted to hear what Paul had to say. He was spouting all this strange stuff. So they wanted to hear this stuff that he was saying because it was new, and Paul was ready to tell them all this important news, as he put it. So Paul preaches to them. Now, if you noticed, when Paul began speaking to all these people, he doesn't attack them and tell them that they're wrong, that they're worshiping the wrong gods, that they're doing everything incorrectly. He doesn't berate them. He doesn't condemn them. He doesn't tell them that they are wrong for having all of these statues everywhere that they're worshiping. He recognizes, in the words of Robin Roberts, that everybody's got something. Paul meets these people right where they are. He starts out by commenting on something positive that he notices in these folks. He says, and I quote, "I see that you are very religious." Now, his basis for saying this was that all these shrines they had around and all these statues that they were worshiping, he did notice that they truly were religious. They even had one, as we heard in scripture, that was dedicated to an unknown God. So by starting off in a positive way, Paul is able to get the crowd's ear, to build a little trust between them. Paul respects the people. He respects the ones that he's speaking to, and he meets them where they are. He respects that they are a people who are, in fact, religious and devoted. And he identifies this particular monument, the statue of an unknown God, to tell them about this unknown God, which is the actual God that Paul worships, that we worship. It's the one source of all life, of creation itself, the one in whom we live and move and have our being, as Paul writes. Now, what's fascinating about what Paul does here is that he uses the philosopher's own words and views of the world to help them relate to Paul's message. He quotes their own philosophers, and Paul shares that we are all offspring of God. Already among the people, there is this idea that we are all connected in some deep way to each other and through our connection with the divine, that we carry into the world this presence of God. So Paul anticipates the audience's next question or pondering, and that would be, does this experience of the divine, of God, come through our human struggle and searching after it? Or is it God who enables our understanding of God's presence? Now, Paul's response to this pondering of the people is that it is through Jesus that we can truly understand who God is. God is not some mental exercise, some philosophical debate or discussion. Rather, Paul shares that we have faith because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Because it is in God that we live and move and have our being. God is not something that is so far away from us, not something that is up in the skies. God is not a deity that is far off looking down upon us. No, God is here. God is in all that is created. God is literally surrounding us, and some might call it energy, and some might call it spirit. God is all around, and God is within each one of us. Our very existence depends on God. For it is in God that we live, move, search, and have our being, our existence. God is the soul of the universe. Now, contemporary theologian Marcus Borg continues the theology of panentheism. Not to be confused with pantheism, which asserts that all is God. Panentheism is the belief that the divine pervades and interpenetrates, there's the word I was looking for, every part of the universe and also extends beyond time and space. So in this belief, God is viewed as the soul of the universe, the universal spirit which is presented everywhere, which at the same time transcends all beings. Borg says that we've too long pictured God as out there, separate from the world. A supernatural being, he says, who created the world a long time ago and who may from time to time intervene within it. That God is hard to relate to and can be very detached from us. Our life and world, it's hard to live in that detachment. Borg came to think of God very differently after experiencing God in the power of nature. Borg said, and I quote, "I began to think of God as the encompassing spirit. Now I see the world as infused with that spirit." So Borg also pulled from the creation theology, which is a different understanding of God, and it is the belief that God is in all of creation. And he believed that we are also all of God, that humans and creatures alike were born into a state of original blessing and not original sin. That humans are born with a state of original blessing instead of original sin. Now, what would it be like if we approached everyone we encountered with that mindset that we have each an original blessing? And from there, we could approach one another with grace and with compassion, seeing that everybody's got something. Robin Roberts' mother said to Robin when she first came out to her that God loves you because of who God is, not because of anything you do or don't do. Original blessing. At times, we humans default to a negative mindset. It's easy to do. We make assumptions about people or things. We judge one another. We forget that everyone is going through something. Because if we can't see it or we don't know it, we forget that it's there. We forget that we don't know the whole story or what else is happening in somebody's life. I remember one person I worked with. She had acrylic nails, and they were often very colorful. My first assumption was, that's not very professional. Maybe even a little tacky. I later learned she wore those nails because when her sister was battling cancer, they would go and get manicures done together. And it was a way to feel connected, to feel free for a time, and just normal. And her sister, unfortunately, passed away from the cancer. So when I learned this, I realized that those nails were a way for her to keep her sister with her always. Everybody's got something. Friends, when we're able to see the original blessing in all people, when we are able to step outside of ourselves, to put those assumptions aside, the judgments aside, when we remember that everybody's got something, then we move closer to God by recognizing everyone's original blessing. For it is in God that we live and move and have our being. Amen. Friends, let us rise now in body and spirit for our singing of "Open My Eyes That I May See," number 586 in the hymnal and on the screen.